But it's clear amends were being made, even though the boss might not know the score, because you don't have to injure anybody in this, including yourself. What about turning yourself into the IRS? Well, see, you're in a situation there where the alternative might be Jamaica. And I found in connecting with the IRS, you know, when folks reconnect and say, listen, you know, taxes for 82, 83, 84, and 85, well, I didn't pay them. They already know that. And you're just on the list, and they'll find you. So what you get to do is let them know first, I'm willing to make amends, I'm going to do what's possible. And usually when they hear that, they get off your back right away. You know, they say, oh, well, this guy has to stay sober. We can trust him. He might be sending us $10 a year, you know, and we hope he lives a long time. But some things are just kind of like that. Okay, amends steps. Now, what if amends aren't possible? Direct amends. What if direct amends aren't possible? Indirect amends are. The book is really strict on this, as a matter of fact. See, the kind of the notion that makes sense, this is not an exercise in guilt and humiliation. If you take a look at the Buddhist notion, that in the very first moment of existence, everything was in harmony. And then self-will run riot enters the picture. And everything goes into disharmony. My actions has increased the disharmony in the universe. By making amends, what I'm trying to do is restore the balance. That's all I'm trying to do. Now, I'm not doing it for them. I'm doing it for me. And I'm going to do what's possible, and I'm going to do what's reasonable, and I'm going to do it with somebody else. Made direct amends. We had a fellow. He was about 16 years old, got married, wife, couple of kids, abandoned the family, joined the Air Force or something, never connected with them for years and years and years, finally got sober and decided that as a way of making amends, he'd move back with the family. Question number one, do they know you're coming? No, I just thought I'd show up. Wonderful. Have you so much as written to them in the last 10 years? Well, I sent them a Christmas card once, you know, during the Vietnam War. Well, you know, I don't think that's, again, that's not making amends. That's creating more chaos. This is why he thought it was a great idea. They'd love to see me. Chances are, no. It's a big shock for a lot of us to find out we're not welcomed everywhere. But after all those years and all that neglect, there might be some damage. So check this stuff out. And we said, why don't you start sending them a check once a month? Well, he didn't want to dirty the relationship with money. No. I love men. You know, they just, that's pure relationship, just sex, you know, no money. Anyway, let's get to the amends things in the book here. Where are you? There are some funny lines in this book. Where are we? All right, that's five. The chapter to wives. Oh, where are you? I guess it's 83 and 84. There we are. Okay. It says here, and this is quite wonderful, especially if you saw The Wizard of Oz the other night on TV. This line is, the alcoholic is like a tornado roaring his way through the lives of others. It's a great line. Now, again, you know these are Ohio people that wrote this. We wouldn't have used this image. We would have said earthquake, you know. Hearts are broken, sweet relationships are dead, affections have been uprooted. Selfish and inconsiderate habits have kept the home in turmoil. We think a man is unthinking when he says that sobriety is enough. No, I'm not drinking, what more do you want? Everything. You know, everything. He is like the farmer who came up out of his cyclone cellar to find his home ruined. To his wife, he remarked, "Don't see anything the matter here, Ma. Ain't it grand the wind stopped blowing?" I love that line. Then he says, there is a long period of reconstruction ahead. We're rebuilding. Bill Wilson in the book uses a lot of building imagery. We're building an arch through which we shall walk, a free person at last. Reconstruction ahead, we must take the lead. A remorseful mumbling that we are sorry won't fill the bill at all. Now that's, I don't like hearing that, because I was hoping just to say I'm sorry to some people I owed money to and figure, well, that's what I could do. Or just, you know, write the letter. Well, a letter may help, but that might not. There's more to amends than writing some letters, although sometimes letters are very important. We ought to sit down with the family and frankly analyze the past as we now see it, being very careful not to criticize them. I'm grateful this was there. I started doing amends fairly early in sobriety, and that's because pain was real great for me. I lived in a community in Berkeley with 23 other people, and I kind of liked some of them and didn't like others. Of the 23, 7 of us were drinking alcoholics, by the way, just the luck of the draw. And there was one fellow who halfway through the year moved out of the community and moved into another community. It's because he was sane is why. He just said, who needs this, you know? I, however, took a great resentment to this. I felt abandoned and wronged, and who does he think he is? And I just stored it up inside of me, and I badmouthed him. So I was sober 3, 4, 5 months, and I knew I had to make amends in some way for bad-mouthing him, so I said I had to have a conversation with him. So we went down to the Cafe Depresso on Hearst Avenue in Berkeley, and this line in the book, you know, it's being very careful not to criticize them. It was clear to me that our conversation was not about their behavior. It was about mine. I didn't even want to imply his behavior drove me crazy. The fact was, I badmouthed him, I was full of resentment, and I was even afraid of him, and I wanted it aired, figuring if we could just air this and get some light on it, it's going to heal. And it did. But the line is, if you have to write that letter to somebody, don't spend the first 5 pages telling them how they're wrong. That's not what you're doing. You're making amends for the things you did or did not do. But this just occurred to me about a week or two ago in the way of making amends. I think it surely fits under the spirit of the law. There are some people I owed thanks to, and I never gave it to them. Real important people in my life at crucial times, when I was a kid in high school, a teacher or somebody, or when I was a young man here in college, someone who was really very special, and I enjoyed their company, I profited from it, and left. Boom, and they haven't heard from me in 20 years, and I've never said thanks. Well, that became part of my recovery, tracking down some of these people and writing them letters of thanks. Two cousins of mine, they're both older than I am, and they had a ranch in Hollister, and when I was just around puberty, so 12 or 13 years old, I got to go out and spend a couple summers on their ranch. It was spectacular. But when you're 12 or 13, you don't write thank you letters. So I was sober a year or two or three, wanted to tell them something about me because we hadn't talked in years, and I wrote him a thank you letter for putting up with me when I was 11, 12, and 13 and giving me that chance, and it was very important. This is only 30 years later, and I want you to know it. And I mentioned that I was sober in Alcoholics Anonymous, and it was a whole new world for me. I never got a letter back from them. But a year later, I bumped into them at a family gathering, and one of my cousins said, "Thanks for your letter. It was really wonderful to get. I've been going to Al-Anon for 2 years. It's nice to know someone else is on the program." You know? Connections. You know, the thank you. Who do I owe thank yous to? And as I meet with people, I bump into folks that I had forgotten about for years, and they're part of the gratitude list. Well, it's not too late to send a postcard or a letter. It doesn't have to be 15 pages. It can be one page. I think that's good stuff. Their defects may be glaring. In fact, they often are. These are the people we're talking to. But chances are that our own actions are partly responsible. I hate that. So we clean house with the family, asking each morning in meditation that our Creator show us the way of patience, tolerance, kindliness, and love. Then this is when it says the spiritual life is not a theory, we have to live it. Then it also says there may be some wrongs we can never fully right. We don't worry about them if we can honestly say to ourselves that we would right them if we could. Some people cannot be seen. We send them an honest letter. And there may be a valid reason for postponement in some cases. But we don't delay if it can be avoided. And then this, we should be sensible, tactful, considerate, and humble without being servile or scraping. As God's people, we stand on our feet. We don't crawl before anyone. That's very nicely put. I want to talk for a moment about indirect amends. What do I mean by that? This is done for your own good. I mean, the indirect amends we can make. One of the gifts I had when I was drinking was character assassination. And if I met you and had a couple of drinks and wanted to take off on you, I would. And tremendous verbal abuse. And you could be there or not be there. It made no difference. And some of the stuff I talked about was real and some of it was made up. Who knows? A gin-soaked brain is a wonderful source of hysteria, as you know. How do you make up for that? Well, I don't even remember some of the people I dumped on. One way of doing it is to try not to do that today. And when I get back to that, and I still can, stone sober, get into stuff like that, pull back from it. As a way of not perpetuating the evil. Well, what if this is the case? And I learned about these because of people's experience. Fellow up in the Berkeley Fellowship, who, he had terrible problems with his father for years and years. They hated each other. Very abusive. There was incest when the kid was real young, and that stuff just doesn't go away quickly, and deep hurt, deep anger, deep pain. Father has been dead for years. And how on earth do you make amends for stuff? I mean, and who owes who amends? What was clear that was what was broken here is the relationship of father-son. That's what was broken. And who was right and who was wrong is a real good question, and we could stay drunk over that one for years. But this guy had a lot of unresolved stuff with his old man. So what he did is he decided he'd adopt an old man. There are lots of them around. And he would just try to build a relationship with someone else, kind of using him as a father figure. And what he finally resolved on, there was an older man in the neighborhood, a man in his 80s, who lived by himself and could get around and stuff, but needed a hand on occasion. And so what this guy would do is every Friday morning he'd stop by his house and pick up his shopping list, grocery shopping, and he did his own on Friday. He'd do his own grocery shopping and this old guy's and drop this guy's shopping off on the way back Friday night. He did that for 3 years when I knew him. And I said, "Why are you doing this?" "I'm trying to build a healthy relationship with this guy. I'm trying to be of service to him like I never could be to my father in a lot of ways. I'm trying to make amends for all the crazy." You know? I think that's a wonderful thing. A woman who is sober now for some time and for a variety of reasons, her children do not want anything to do with her. That's sad. And well, they should, but they don't. And they're going through their own craziness. And she has a feeling that she really wants to make amends somehow. She's written the letters and it hasn't satisfied. There's still this stuff. So she goes to Children's Hospital every week and reads to the kids in the cancer ward. She becomes a very important person in the lives of a lot of little kids. And it's her way of making amends. And she gets a lot more out of this than the kids do sometimes. And it's helping her heal. A lot of amends have to do with healing. When we come into recovery, we're pretty broken people. Lots of anger, and it doesn't do a lot of good to figure out who's right and who's wrong on a lot of these things. All I know is pain's there. So how can we deal with the pain? And it takes time. It takes time. Who do you figure this amends stuff out with? Your sponsor is a good person if your sponsor has common sense. Because I think when we're dealing with amends, we're dealing with a lot of common sense stuff. Do I owe amends or not? If so, how do I do it? What complicates all this is a lot of us add to this stuff lots of feelings of guilt and shame. And guilt and shame have very little to... They're useless. They don't do us any good. They just complicate your life. You see? You're trying to do amends without feeling all this guilt and shame. That I'm responsible for all the pain in Nigeria. No, you aren't. You know? No, you aren't. You're not that powerful.